Greetings, respected viewers. I'm having to try this again because it cut off partway through. Anyway, I was talking about the Russian campaign in Ukraine going wrong and how General Sergei Surovikin has been demoted. He's been replaced by Valery Gerasimov. Now, Gerasimov is chief of army staff. So he's meant to oversee all the different divisions and districts and so on. And so it's not since 1941 when Georgi Zhukov was sent to the front. The chief of army staff was to actually manage the campaign rather than be just in charge of the army and generally. And that's a signal of how badly things are going. That doesn't, of course, guarantee that Russia's going to win the war. It's got huge reserves of manpower, indeed woman power. And they're already saying that they're the spring call-up, they'll call up men up to the age of 30, much older than they're usually called up. So they might call up more people. They may finally learn from their mistakes, iron out some of the logistical problems, actually properly equip their troops. I mean, their defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, has said that the factories are working around the clock and they'd need to produce munitions, weapons, boots, uniforms, everything. So there's still a lot of fight in them yet. They send troops into Belarus, they're having war games there, and the Ukrainians are worried there might be an attack from the north again, a pincer movement. But anyway, so Surovikin is not being dismissed completely. He's going to be one of the deputies of Gerasimov there. And Surovikin had only been on post for 3 months. The signal is not going well. There's that battle in Bakhmut. And the Ukrainians are taking significant casualties. But, you know, they're still fighting there. And Soledar. Soledar's got the biggest salt mine in Europe. The thing is, there's a network of tunnels, about 200 kilometers of tunnels, which can be used to advance and surprise the enemy. The Ukrainians could simply blow up the entrances to the tunnels, but they might want to use them themselves. So there's fighting there. And some foreign analysts are puzzled why Russia's invested Bakhmut with such importance, because it's not even that important, in terms of transport strategically. Okay, roads, railways, you can blow those up anyway. You can go cross-country anyway in most vehicles. They've got to win something. They've been battling there for several months. And now that appears to be the pivotal point of the war, as far as Russia is convinced. If they lose there, it'll be a big blow to their morale. They had to withdraw from Kyiv. They had to withdraw from Kherson. They're beaten back from Kharkiv, and they've been pushed back generally. So they've got to take something. And I wonder whether the Ukrainians are perhaps foolish to defend it so heavily, but house by house. And the Russians have admitted it's a very difficult situation. They're taking significant casualties. But so I suppose Ukraine doesn't want to give Russia a morale boost. But anyway, Gerasimov, he's held his position as the chief of general staff for 11 years, and he's very close to Putin. He's someone who's utterly merciless. Now, he's the only person above him in the military is the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. Shoigu's obviously sort of politician, was previously in the Ministry for Emergency Situations. People talked about him as a possible replacement to Putin, but Shoigu has never been in the military for a single day. Like Putin, he's a civilian through and through. Now, Gerasimov is known for his no-nonsense demeanor. He's a man who's never known to crack a smile. He's a grumpy sort of person, but he's meant to get results. He drives his men very, very hard, and he has no better nature to appeal to. So this invasion was his brainchild. It clearly hasn't gone well. And that's the thing about Putin. Often if you fail, you don't carry the can for it. They blame people, the lower orders, which is ridiculous, which is obviously why they keep failing, rather than not being accountability at the top. So, you know, you failed, you bear responsibility, you've got to go. We're going to replace you by someone who can succeed. And then they wonder why they don't succeed very often. He fought in Chechnya in the late 90s when troops under his command committed numerous large-scale atrocities for which there was absolute impunity. So Gerasimov, he went forward into Ukraine to see the battlefield situation for himself. Remember that American retired general David Petraeus saying, well, you get these situation reports, you can easily see satellite images, but that's not it. You know, generals in the field consider it important to actually see and hear and smell for themselves. Are these reports, are their subordinates lying to them? Are they unduly rosy or whatever? And then it really makes things shipshape. If you know a very senior figure is coming, you want to be impressed and make sure you're doing things the right way. And meant to be a morale booster for troops. And as we've seen from this war, the morale matters an awful lot. So Gerasimov was not actually at the Victory Day parade last year, which is a bit surprising. Was he in disfavor? Because the war had begun not very long before, 2.5 months earlier. And hadn't gone very well. Here we are 11 months on, and they haven't achieved the objectives they boasted they'd achieve within 2 days. So Anyway, is this Gerasim's last chance to prove himself? Now, Putin's aims were obviously unrealistic, but in fairness, a lot of foreign experts thought that Russia was going to win in short order. And so maybe Gerasimov's plan wasn't that bad. Maybe it was the execution, but there's such endemic corruption, stealing of fuel, stealing winter tires of rations and issuing soldiers, which were sort of expired 7 years ago. The rations were expired 7 years ago. They don't have complete uniforms, might be missing some cold weather gear, don't have proper boots and stuff like that. Shortage of ammunition, disorganization, just rampant, rankant incompetence, defalcation. And that's why it went so badly. And then this poor all-armed cooperation, tanks that go forward, this arm without any support, without infantry to keep the enemy infantry away with their anti-tank guns, you know, these man-portable things, javelins, and that's why some of their tanks are taken out. So armor, infantry, the Air Force, whatever it is, special forces, snipers, all sorts of artillery, they just don't work as one seamless whole. Yeah, they're, you know, sort of disparate. So there's mal-coordination between them. Anyway, so some people think that Gerasimov is not going to make any difference. This is sort of slightly changing deck chairs on the Titanic. But, you know, as I said, I think there's still a lot of fight left in the Russian bear. They could yet win. I mean, thinking it's less likely, could be fought to exhaustion for economic reasons. This will go on for about a year and a half, maybe not. Now, what could change? I mean, because remember, Russia is going to sell less oil and gas in 2023 than last year. Because, of course, you know, Western countries are transitioning even more away from it, and they're going to send it at lower prices. The prices are coming down. Then again, the Chinese economy is opening a little up a bit more because they're out of these coronavirus lockdowns. But, you know, it's going to shrink another few percent this year, another few percent next year, and it's like even into 2025. I mean, unless sanctions are eased off, I don't see it. This shrinkage stopping. It may slow to only 1 or 2% shrinkage, but that's just going to go on indefinitely. When their economy is something like 50% based around oil and gas, and they're not diversifying, what are they going to do when they're higher and higher military costs? And they're because they've got to buy more equipment, replace equipment that's been destroyed, pay more soldiers who were previously working in the private sector, and so on. And they're having problems in civilian aviation. There have been several crashes this year already. None of them been catastrophic crashes. Passengers have been killed, but say 2 or 3 passengers on the plane, not all of them, but it's a matter of time. It's an accident waiting to happen when they don't have the equipment that they need. So Gerasimov is completely unimaginative, certainly believes in overwhelming force, but it's not shock and awe. It's surround a city, and then you get your artillery, and you pummel, and you pummel, and you pummel, you pulverize it, okay, unless, of course, they surrender. But he was originally a tanker. He went from a tank school, still very much believes in the tanks, but the Russian armored divisions have not really covered themselves in glory, especially now it looks like the NATO is going to be supplying tanks. Would they even get the Leopard tanks from Germany? Are they going to get British Challenger 2s? Looks like they're not going to get the Abrams M1 tanks, so there's some of those French light tanks and so on. So that'll give the Russians more than a run for their money. So I don't think the war will be fought in a particularly different way. And I don't see this as being a game changer. Might be a bit more successful for Russians. I mean, expect there to be a spring offensive for the Russians. They've got to try. They carry on as they are. They're maybe being slowly pushed back as the Ukrainians are getting better and better armaments. You know, Westerners thought, shall we end this by diplomacy? Hold out the olive branch. Macron regularly speaking to Putin, saying, we don't want Russia to be humiliated. People talk about offering an off-ramp, and Putin said no to that. He has put out some peace feelers, releasing some Americans and so on recently. But, you know, he's not willing to make any concessions worth the name. So some Westerners, even the peace party, are concluding, well, if we can't end this by negotiation, it's going to have to end it by military means. We're going to have to provide the Ukrainians with the military means to end the war through victory. And that's what Putin's brought on himself. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.